didn't that appear in the Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillos Yadayim, we need a little bit of a background to really appreciate, to understand where exactly the Shulchan Aruch is coming from, what exactly the issue in the Rishonim that he's raising. The background really is found more in Hilchos Mikvaos than it is in Hilchos Tefillos Yadayim, so that we just spend a little bit of time talking about a little bit background as to where the Shulchan Aruch is all about and what the source of all this discussion is. So there's one basic premise in Hilchos Tefillos Yadayim, that one can fulfill the mitzvah and the Tos Yadayim in one of two ways. Either one can wash the Tos Yadayim with a cup, a tefillah from a kli, that's one method. And the other method is tefillah Yadayim. One can be tovel one's hands in a body of water that would be acceptable for tefillah. One has a kosher mikvah, something of that nature, that would for sure be acceptable. The Rishonim used to have a machlekes, when you do tefillah Yadayim, whether you make the bracha al tefillah Yadayim, whether you bring the bracha al tefillah Yadayim. Most of us don't do tefillah Yadayim that often. The only time we ever do it around the trip somewhere, to a teal somewhere, no cup around, the wood around, so you stick your hands in a spring or something, stick your hands in every big place, stick your hands in the ocean, things like that. So every once in a while we have it, and most of the time we live in civilizations and we have cups, we have running water. We very rarely perform this mitzvah, and if we very rarely have to be down in the shaila, when the bracha should be in the tefillah yadayim, when the bracha should be tefillah yadayim. My kids used to have the shaila every week years ago, so I used to pick up the boys. I used to have mishmar in elementary school, just to pick up the boys. And they thought we'd bring the pizza to eat on the way home. So very often the school building was very locked, so it was hard to get in to wash the Tos Yadayim again, but the Kelim Mikvah was always open. So I would tell them, just go to the Kelim Mikvah, just stick your hands into the Kelim Mikvah, and that's good enough. So the truth is that there was a sink in the Kelim Mikvah, and there was running water in the Kelim Mikvah. So I told them that they should really wash their hands with Tos Yadayim like a match with a cup, and that way they can make Al HaTilas Yadayim without getting involved in the Sabi Bracha. But they were too excited. They liked the idea of doing things a little bit different, so they used to do Tfilas Yadayim every week. I don't remember which Bracha they made, but they made Al HaTilas Yadayim. But whatever. So anyway, for normal people, normal scenarios, my kids are normal people, for normal scenarios, so we don't have it too much. But every once in a while we do it. Once in a while we do have these situations where we have to do Tfilas Yadayim in a strange way. So I thought we'd just try to discuss a little bit what the parameters of these strange scenarios of Tfilas Yadayim are. So there were three halachas and halachas mikvaos that we have to familiarize ourselves with to appreciate where the Shulchan Aruch is coming from. There are three distinct halachas that govern the construction of a body of water in order to be kosher for a tevilah. So one is the amount of water. Two is whether the water is stationary, whether the water is moving. And number three is whether the water has been in any kli, has been in any receptacle, we call mayim shuvim. So it's each one of these three potential problems that now plays out in halachas tevilas yadayim. So how much water must be present in order for a body of water to be metaher? So here the halacha draws a distinction between what's called a mikvah and a mayon. A mikvah is a collection of rainwater. A mayon is a flowing spring from underground water. So the halacha is that a mayon is metaher b'kol shehu. In order for a mayon to affect the tahara, so even the smallest amount would be acceptable. There is a machlokes rishonim about whether that's true only for tefillas kelim, whether it's true even for tefillas adam, those are details in Hilchos Mayonos, but there is such a principle called that a mayan is technically mitahir b'kol shehu. In contrast, the Gemara says that a mikvah requires a shia. What's the shia for a mikvah? So the Gemara explains that there are two different standards. There's the shia of a mikvah for tefillas adam, and then there's the shia of a mikvah for tefillas kelim. When I say tefillas kelim, I am not referring to what we call today tefillas kelim. I'm talking about tefillas kelim in the tumah. Tefillas kelim of when you buy a new kli from a guy. So those halachas follow tefillas adam. The Gemara says in the Farish, "Achmei meidi da'is chata." Whatever the shear is for tefillas adam, that's the same shear for tefillas kelim of today. But simply to be metar a kli, so the Gemara tells us that there's a different shear when it comes to again for mayan it's metar b'kol shehu. When it comes to a mikvah to rainwater, so that if it's tefillas adam, then the halacha requires 40 saw. It has to be enough mayim shear kol gufa shalom oil b'hem. An average person fits into an amount of water about 40 saw. 40 saw is approximately about 150 gallons or so. So if a normal person can totally submerge himself in that amount of water, that's bracha, it's called the sa'ab b'mayim, that's ma'amshik ha'gufa and the mehem. So that shear of 40 saw was only said in the Torah for tefillas adam, it wasn't said for kelim tameim. What's the shear for kelim tameim? So the Gemara says the shear is a revius. The pash for the is that all these dinim are halacha moshe m'sinai. The Gemara says that kol shiurin halacha moshe m'sinai. And tefachim and al-ramas and three tefachim and kezayis and kebeis, all these different shurim that we have in halacha are not arbitrary shurim, they're all given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Sinai. So these shurim of Hilchos Mikvaos are probably the same as well. That 40 saw was the shear given for tefillas adam, and a revius was the shear given for tefillas kelim in day tumah. Then the Gemara says in Maseches Nazir that in later generations the chachamim were mevatel the din of tefillas kelim. The chacham said that if you have a mikvah that you want a table, even if it's a small clay, although in a Torah or a vias is good enough, that's with the Raisa. With the Rabbana, they did away with that, and they said that you have to, they were about to in a Revias, you have to be a table in a 40 cell. So they didn't want to make people too confused. Otherwise, you're going to have some big bowls that are going to be good for Caleb and possible for people. It's going to be very confusing. So therefore, they made a standard across the board. With the Rabbana, they were about to in Revias for a Mikra. So Allah Lamaisa, if you want to be a table, you're a Kli Tomei. So Allah Lamai supposed that the Chanas Chachamim, so you have to do it in a kosher mikvah, it has to be 40 saw. But at least in the perfect world, the world there is, there's such a concept of a mikvah being kosher with a mere reveal. So it's for this that the Shulchan Aruch quotes Machlokes and Mishayim, where does the Tilas Yadayim fit into this picture? When the Chachamim Misach and the Tilas Yadayim, so they instituted you can either do the Tilas Yadayim or you can do Tvilas Yadayim. So Tvilas Yadayim has to be in a kosher mikvah. So what standards are we using for a kosher mikvah? Are we using the standards the Raisidika standards, or we're using the standards of the Rabbanim. It's a strange shiloh because Tilas Yadayim is only with the Rabbanim, but still with the Chabu Misach and Tilas Yadayim, so some Rishonim say that they look to the standards of the Raisidika standards. So since a revius of water collecting on the ground is technically speaking a mikvah, with the Raisid it is a mikvah, at least for Tilas Kalim, so maybe that's a good enough mikvah for the Tilas Yadayim as well. So if you stick your hands into a small puddle, there's a big rainstorm, a good puddle of water on the ground. So it's mega shaman. It's more than revius in place. So you just stick your hands in and shut. That would be fulfilled in the mitzvah of Netilah / Tevilah Sedayim, according to some Rishonim. Another Rishonim say, no. Once the Chachamim mevatel the din of revius, even for Tevilah Sedayim, is not acceptable. So then, what the Namadir mevatel for Netilah Sedayim as well. So that's the first topic that appears in Shulchan Aruch. Then there's another discussion in Shulchan Aruch about what if you have the amount of water supposedly that you need, but the water is moving. So how does that play out in terms of halacha? So here, once again, there's a distinction between hilchos mikvos and hilchos mayonos. The Gemara says explicitly that a mayon is metayer, even if it's v'zeichon. Zeichon means that the water is crawling, the water is moving. The Gemara says the favorish that a mayon is mishayis, and that a mayon is metayer b'zochelim. Unlike a mikvah, which is only mitar ba'ashbur. Ashbur means the opposite of zeichon. That means the water is in one place. So the Gemara said the Feirush that there's a difference in terms of tefillas adam between tefillah pashas and barmas. That's a level on a chiluk and a level of deraisa. That a mayan can be mitar b'zeichon and the mikvah has to be dafka b'ashbur. What's the source for this? What's the lumdus behind this? So there's a machlekes and mishonim. What exactly is the distinction? Why is there such a distinction? So the Mordechai writes in Chas Midvos that the reason is, just based on the Pesuk that we describe, Yikavu Amayim Makom Echad. The Torah says in Parshas Bereishis that the definition of a mikvah, the word mikvah means a Makom Echad. So when you're using rainwater, that's what the Torah says, Achmayim Ubor Mikvamayim Yatohor. The Torah speaks about two different bodies of water to be mitar a person. One is a mayim and one is a bor mikvamayim. So if you want to use a bor mikvamayim, because you want to dig a hole in the ground and wait for it to rain, you're going down the route of hilchos mikvos. So whenever you have a mikvah, it's got to be kavah mayim makom echad. It's got to be makom echad. If the water's flowing, it's flowing all over the place, so then that's not called a mikvah makom echad. Whereas a mayim doesn't have to be makom echad. The definition of a mayim means it's flowing, it's also okay. That would also be all right. Every mayim flows, all the springs are flow, so that wouldn't be a problem. So according to the Mordechai, it's the difference between a mikvah and a mayim is based on the fact, just on the lashon hatorah, that one, it's only called the chalashem, it's only called the chefetz of a mikvah through makom echad, and that requirement of makom echad would never set in the hilchos mayonis. There is a comment of the Be'er Gro, the beginning of hilchos mikvos, where he claims that the Rivash disagrees with this Mordechai. Others question what the Rivash exactly what the Rivash said, but the Gro at least interpreted the Rivash to mean that the reason why there's a difference between a mikvah and a mayon is not just, coincidental, a little bit of a difference, just an arbitrary difference, but rather it emanates from the first difference that we mentioned, that the only time there's a din of a shir is only in a mikvah. There's no din of a shir in a mayon. A mayon is mitar b'kol shir. A mikvah has a din of a shir. What the shir is, whether it's a shir of a revius, what the shir of 40 so, whatever the shir is, that's up for discussion, but there's only a din shir in a mikvah. There's no din of a shir in a mayon. So the Rivash, as the Gro claim says, is that whenever you have something which is zochalin, so that's the chisor of the shir of the mikvah. Zochalin means that the water is flowing in all directions. The water is flowing here, it's flowing here, it's flowing all over the place. So it's not mitzur of yachad. It's not mitzur of yachad, that's the chisor of the shir of the mikvah. The hilchos mayonos, where there is no din of a shir, then it's okay. Then it's not no problem. There is no chisor in terms of zochalin. So when I slice it, the Mordechai's piano, the Gro, the Rivash's pshat, There is a chiluk, Pasha is a chiluk on love of deraisa, that a mikveh is metar bezoichlin, a mine is metar bezoichlin. A mikveh is not metar bezoichlin. So how does this play out now in terms of ilchus betilas yadayim? So if you have a mayan that's off, let's say you want a camping trip, and you see there's an underground spring, and the spring is flowing down the mountain, it's flying in all directions, it's zochel, it's moving, so then that's okay, because as long as the water is emanating from under the ground, so then it's a mayan, it's metar bezoichlin, it's fine, you can stick your hands into the flowing spring, and that would be okay. What if you had mei geshamim, you had water that was rainwater, that's not, doesn't qualify as a mayan, now you want to go down the route of ilchus mikvaos, that happens to be zochlin. So if you would have asked me, I would have said it's no good. I said, the only din is that you could be toivel yadayim in a kosher mikvah. But once it's ochlin, so it's ois mikvah, it's not a kosher mikvah. So l'chor, if you would ask me, I'd say that's for sure no good. So the Shulchan Aruch is not so sure. Shulchan Aruch quotes Machlokes and Mishnah Brachos, Yesh L'Stapek. He's not sure what the din would be. What's the argument? Maybe one can argue that the din of Zochlin, it's true, this is the din of Zochlin. Zochlin is a posel in ochlin's mikvahs. But maybe that super proposal, that high level of standard, maybe that was only said by the dinim derais of tefilas aguf. When it comes to the tefilas yadayim, it's water, might have kavina, it's moving a little bit, who cares, it's water, it's moving a little bit. In order to be a kosher of mikveh for the purposes of the tefilas yadayim, it doesn't have to be picture perfect, it doesn't have to be with all the chumras, all the hidurim of ilchus mikvahs. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is not so sure. Many posts give a machmer, this many posts give the whole thing is lahoyd v'mi'alam, that if it's if it's zochlin, so by definition, it's not considered to be a kosher mikvah. If you hold like the gra, so the two shahs may be related to one another. If you hold like the gra, that the psul of zochlin is ultimately a psul of chasashir. If you hold like those rishon will say that with the mikvah is chasashir, so it's not no good for the tilsidayim, then by definition, it's not going to be good for the zochlin either. So mate, ultimately, will be the same shahl according to the gra. What are some examples? Do we have some real examples of zochlin that would come up in terms of mikvah and tilsidayim? The Mishnah says in Maseches Mikvos that sometimes it's not so simple to know whether something is a mikvah, whether it's a mayan. So you have a body of water that's a combination of different sources of water. It's got a little bit of mayan water, a little bit of underground spring water, a little bit of rainwater. That's all mixed together. So it's all one big shoal of water. So how do you know what it is? And what if that body of water is now moving? Is that kosher as a puzzle? Is that a mayan? Is that a mikvah? So the Mishnah says you follow right. I got the ears of halacha. The Mishnah says, hey, well, but tzaddik, that all depends on what the robe is. And that's the fair Mishnah. Well, it all depends on what the robe is. Based on that Mishnah, the Gemara has a sugya in a few places, in the Darim, in the Chavs, in the Chavs, a few places, the same exact sugya, about what do you do with rivers? Is a river considered to be a mayan, and is a river considered to be a mikvah? If a river has mostly rainwater, then it's a problem, because it's zeichlin, so it's moving. If a river has mostly spring water, then it's okay, because spring water is allowed to be moving. What's the answer to that question? So it's a machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes amarayim, and maybe machlekes atarayim. What's the issue? So there's one opinion in the Gemara that says that it all depends on the different times of year and different rivers, because rivers are very often made up of a lot of different sources. Sometimes rivers are combined with rainwater and combined with spring water, so you have to figure out different times of the year. Let's say in the middle of the winter time, in the middle of the rainy season, so it's probably a lot of rain, so then maybe rove of the water would be rain, that would disqualify it, because it's zeichlin. Maybe in the fall, when the rainy season is over, and the new rainy season hasn't started, and all the snow is melted, melted snow is considered to be like rain. So that's like making shaman. So when everything is melted already, and now it's summertime, and all the rain is, God hasn't rained in 6 months, so now maybe most of the water is stuck in the underground spring, so maybe it would be good. So the Gemara quotes such an opinion that says that. The Gemara tells about Avodah Shmuel held that way. At different times of the year, he would say that the rivers were kosher, at different times of the year, he would say they were pasul. Gemara tells a story that Avodah Shmuel used to set up for his daughters. He would tell them that sometimes of the year they were allowed to use the Nahar Pras, they were allowed to use the Euphrates River, and the other times of the year they weren't allowed. So he used to build them in close. At different times of the year, depending on what the rainy season was like. So that's one opinion in the Gemara. The other opinion in the Gemara, the Gemara says Shmuel himself disagreed with his father. The Gemara says that Shmuel quotes a possibility. Maybe we could assume that all rivers are considered to be Rubam Neimayonos. Since all the rivers have some kind of underground springs, and the Tzias of the Ram is, that we can probably assume safely that it's all Mimayan. And his father says, who says you can make that assessment? It's not so simple, not so bush, maybe it's a suffix, we have to figure out at each time and place. So the Rishonim have a big machlekes la halacha, what a take in rivers is. So the Rishon go for Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was Meikel. Rabbeinu Tam shows you from the different Gemaras why he thinks that we follow Shmuel's view. And the Gemara goes now to keep it Mivruch. We can assume that the bulk of the water always comes from the underground springs. And we don't have to be concerned at any times of year to disqualify the rivers. So all rivers are the Cheskis that they kosher, according to Rabbeinu Tam. And the Ran, the Masechet Nedarim, quotes many Rishon. A little more Ran and Nedarim, quotes many Rishonim. Who disagree? Said that no, the Rechashish, that may be rivers or not. Always so good. It depends on the time of the year, depends on the river. You have to know a lot about the geology before you can be mounted to use rivers. How do we pass the Malach in Uchus Mikvos? So the Ramah in Uchus Mikvos writes that if you live in a Shasar Chas, if you live in a place where you can't build a mikvah, not enough people down to afford to build a mikvah, so what are you going to tell the women to do? So where are they going to go? So the Ramah writes, after a lot of river time, so they used to use the rivers. And the Ramah writes in Shasar Chagodol, so we would let you, they used to let the Chumas Adeshim, quoted by the Ramah says, they used to let the women use the rivers. But if you're lazy, but if you have a brayer, if you have an aitzus, you're not supposed to use rivers. Now, the chadchila, according to many rishonim, it's a serious problem, and you shouldn't be using rivers for tefillas. Adam, the Mordechai in Hilchos Mikvos quotes that from the Maharam in Ruttenberg, there was a strange issue that was going on in the days of rishonim. It was almost like a predating to some of the shidduch and harishket that goes on as well as that. So the Mordechai quotes the Maharam in Ruttenberg that there would be some people who, before they would enter into a shidduch with somebody, they would ask certain questions. One of the questions they would ask was the woman of this perspective, Chasan Akala, did the mother rely on the cool of going to the rivers or not? Because if she used to rely on the cool of Rabbeinu Tam to go to the rivers, and then the child was, according to the other Rishon, the child was considered to be a Ben Nida. So they didn't want to enter into such a shidduch because they felt that was not appropriate to marry such a family if the mother relied on Rabbeinu Tam. So the Mordechai quotes from Amar Ruttenberg that he thought that was absurd. He thought that was a ridiculous question. What would he have said about some questions today? I can't tell you, but he said that was a ridiculous question. Because he said, first of all, he said, Tom, not nobody. And Tom said that it was perfectly okay, the chetchila. And second of all, he said, and even, worst case scenario, even if the tach of the mikvah was puzzled, so the child's a ben nida, so what? It's not in the Zeris anyway. You're allowed to marry ben nida, you're allowed to marry bas nida, it's not so terrible anyway. So he said, and then he quotes also, he says, and maybe even the machmir against Rabbeinu Tam, maybe they will only match from the Rabban. Maybe when after they agree that that's not really considered to be a problem. Maybe that's not Zoch with the Raisa, which has to explain to you why that's true. So again, so you see that this was a hot issue in the days in the Middle Ages, what the status of rivers was. I've been against today, nobody that I know of uses rivers for Tevila, because we don't want to get involved in these shilas. So the post can point out that there are other bodies of water that could also run into this problem. Let's say you have certain kind of lakes. So lakes are, depends on how the lake is constructed. If the lake is, if the source of the water is all underground springs, it's not really rainwater, then it's okay, no matter how the lake is constructed. But if there's a lot of rainwater in this lake, so then you have to ask yourself, is the lake Zochlin or not? You have to check and make sure that the lake's not flowing out anywhere. Some lakes have outlets to them, so the water's leaving the lake, so maybe that's considered like Zochlin, depending on how much is leaving. So it can get a little bit tricky. So whenever you want to use a body of water for Tfilas Adam, you can't just assume, okay, we're on a trip, overnight we're going to use this, a woman's going to use this as a mikvah. That's all simple. You have to make sure that the mikvah is really kosher, make sure that it meets the criteria for Chos Mikvos. Remember years ago I got a phone call from this group of people who were going out to some vacation somewhere in the mountains in California, and they were going to be staying in a certain campsite near a lake, and they wanted to know, a couple of families were going, they wanted to know whether they can rely on the fact that the lake was kosher as a mikvah. So I said, I don't know, that depends on the facts. Depends on if the lake, is the water flow out of the lake anywhere, what's the source of the underground springs to the lake, is there a drop in the rain, the summertime, a lot of things, does it have a dam around, a lot of things that could potentially, be involved in the shiloh. So they tried to get us in touch with one of the park rangers to try to fill us in on some of the details, and they weren't so happy to talk to us because they were curious why we wanted to know about the dams and the lakes, and they thought we were trying to blow up the national line. It didn't go too well. We tried to explain to them it was ritual purity, the whole thing, the conversation never happened. The strange part of the end of the conversation was, it was a little bit of a spooky, I'm not such a Rebbe Shemaisa guy, but it was a strange story. Because apparently the night before, decided to go somewhere else, but the night before the trip, so that particular campsite burned down. So, with me, I didn't curse the place, I didn't say anything bad to happen to the place, I just said I wasn't sure whether the lake was kosher to be a mikvah. That was very strange. Beginning to end, the whole thing was very strange, I don't know exactly what happened there. Anyway, getting back to the story. So let's say you don't want to go use it as a mikvah, you want to use it to do it till tonight. You're on a, sitting out, having a barbecue, having a kumzitz by the lakeside, and you want to have your hot dog buns, and you cannot, no one found the cup. So So you want to just put your hands into the lake, and you tell your hands, it's not going to be good or not. So it depends. So if the lake is a kosher mikvah, so then it's okay. If the lake is not a kosher mikvah, so then it's going to depend on all of these factors. So if the problem with the lake is that it's zochalin, so then it's a sofek in Shulchan Aruch, but the zochalin would be okay for the tilus yadayim. So I would say that there are probably a lot of grounds to be made by lakes, because first of all, a lot of the lakes are not kosher, a lot of the lakes may be underground springs, maybe the lakes are not zochalin, and even if it's zochalin, it could be it's not so bad. According to one opinion in Shulchan Aruch, even real zochalin would be okay. So I wouldn't go, you know, you can't find a cup. Probably a lake is okay. A river is a little bit more chomer. But again, we always have a minatam to rely on. And even though, you know, we don't like to want a minatam for tefillos, neither Shabbos Akares, but for those who die of the Rabbanon, you know, maybe we could be a little bit more makel and rely on a minatam. But see, if the fact that we're not even sure that zochon is even a problem for the standards of water, in terms of bodies of water for tefillos and dayim.
For a string, you have to go all the way back to the Makor to find out whether or not it's mayan or not?
No, if you see an underground spring, where's the water coming from?
If you see a stream
could be coming off of a mountain. You can melt the snow coming from a mountain somewhere, you would have to find out where it is. Yeah. As you go to the Ariz Mikveh, the Ariz Mikveh is not a mikveh, it's a mayon. It's an underground spring that's bubbling through the cave. It's always moving the water, that's why it's so cold. So that you can assure you, that's you can title for that. So of course you can use that for the tilsula. There is another shayla that comes up. Shemurah also quotes machlekes about what if you have water that's mayim shuvim. So what exactly is mayim shuvim? So mayim shuvim. That is a big sugya in Hilchos Mikvos. Let's say I have water that's rainwater. I want to use that rainwater to mikvah. That's okay. But the Mishnah says that what if the rainwater one time was in a kli? One time it filled up the rainwater in a receptacle. And the Mishnayos tell us that's a problem. That's what's called mayim shuvim. That disqualifies the mikvah. How much mayim shuvim could disqualify? Maybe I got a big mikvah. I got a little bit of mayim shuvim. How much is going to disqualify the mikvah? So the Mishnah says gimel lugin. If you have three lugin of mayim shuvim, that can ruin it. That can kill it for the entire mikvah. How much is gimel lugin? Well, it's not so much. When we say revius from Kiddush Cup is revius alug. Revius is about 3 ounces, so a lug is about 12 ounces. That means 3 lugim, 36 ounces. That's not a lot of water. So you have a big mikvah, and you have established the water bottle.
16 ounces.
Yeah, 16 ounces. 16.9 fluid ounces. So you have a little bit more than two of these bottles of water in a tremendous mikvah. If this is my shuvim, it's inside a kli. Official exhibit A. This is my shuvim here. So you wouldn't be able to use this for to be tovel it. So Shemurach raises the question whether that din of Mayim Shuvim being disqualified for a mikvah, would that be a problem for Tilus Yadayim as well? So we have to understand two parts of the Shah. We have three parts of the Shah. Number one, we have to understand why that Shuvim should not be so. Why should the standards of Mayim Shuvim not carry over to Tilus Yadayim? What is there about Mayim Shuvim that someone's a little more cowed that may not carry over to Tilus Yadayim? And we also have to understand what exactly is Mayim Shuvim, what is not Mayim Shuvim. What are some of the modern-day applications of what's considered to be Mayim Shuvim? And assuming we would have a problem with Mayim Shuvim, assuming we would have some kind of a collection of water that would be Mayim Shuvim, would there be any way to fix it? Anything that we could possibly do to solve the problem? So this is going to be part of a whole other discussion. Sometimes you have a situation, let's say, guys, you're sitting up by the side of the lake, you're sitting by the swimming pool, and you want to have your barbecue, and you know if you find a cup. So maybe you could just stick your hands right into the pool. Maybe that would also be good. So pool water may or may not be Mayim Shuvim, so we have to talk about that also. So we have to try to fill in the gaps for the next year to try to figure out a little bit the ramifications of this halacha of Mayim Shuvim. There's some potential real shailas that will potentially come up in terms of using these strange situations of Tefillos Yadayim in order to fulfill the mitzvah with this type of problems. Next week, we'll continue that, and we'll try to talk about the last scenario of doing this down in the snow. So, part 2, maybe we have a book of controls.